the last day. John 12:48 says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." What the Lord was talking about when he said the last day was the judgment day. Sometimes we know what we should do to please God, but for some reason, we just refuse to do it. And maybe we've never obeyed God in becoming a Christian, even though we believe and know in our hearts that He is real. It may be we have lived the life of a Christian but failed to completely sacrifice our lives to Him. What does it take to wake us up? We have heard sermons about the facts of judgment. Perhaps we need something that will prick us deep down inside and cause our hardened heart to bleed. And this is the story. It was a beautiful Lord's Day morning. The storms the night before had passed and the sun was shining bright and clear. I always enjoyed Sunday a little more when, on top of getting to go to worship services, God had blessed us with a beautiful day. We had a pretty good crowd. The people who were usually there were there, and the people who were usually absent were absent. I led the singing. Brother Carmichael was preaching about the judgment to come. He had just been saying that Jesus' second coming could happen at any moment. I knew that's what the Bible said, but it just seemed as if there was still so much to do, too many lost souls to be saved. That's when it happened. The emergency management agency's warning sirens started to sound, only they were a lot louder. The first thing I thought was, there can't be any storms on a day like today. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. It wasn't the warning sirens. The sound filled the room where we were sitting. We started to hear other things. Brother Carmichael stopped preaching. Some got up and went to the door. Others sat stricken, unable to move. When Brother Carmichael stepped down from the pulpit and started for the door, most of us followed him. When we got outside, things started to happen very quickly. Brother Murray fell to his knees and cried out, "Oh God, please let it not be too late. I know I should have stopped. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'll never do it." His voice trailed away as he realized the truth of his words. I couldn't believe it. Doug had always seemed like such a faithful person. "For God will bring every act of judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." Ecclesiastes 12:14. "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and of the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries." Hebrews 10:26-27. Sister Ruby Taylor had a remarkable look on her face. She had been repeating, "This is it. This is really it. This is it." She was smiling sweetly and clutched her Bible close to her. Some parents were comforting their little children. "It's Jesus. He's come to take us to heaven." Could it be? Was this the second coming? Had judgment really come upon us? Brother Philip Hayes was standing at arm's length from Sharon and his wife of 12 years. Their children stood nearby. Tears were streaming down her face. "Philip," she cried, "I want to be baptized now. I've always believed in God. Really, I have. It's not too late." Philip remembered how hard he had tried to convert Sharon, how much he had prayed for her. Others had tried too, but she would not. He looked into her eyes hopelessly as the sky overhead filled with angels. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, and you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1, 24 through 33. I was sitting on the ground shaking because my knees were too weak to support me. All my life, I believed in God and was baptized at an early age. I knew this day was coming, but I didn't think it would come during my lifetime. It was truly an amazing sight to see, far surpassing anything I ever imagined. Angels don't have wings after all. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night, while they are saying, peace and safety. Then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 and 3. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Mark 13, 32 through 37. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? 2 Peter 3, 11 and 12. Strange things started to happen. The ground was shaking. The sky turned from blue to a brassy color as if it were on fire. Suddenly, I heard Sharon cry out, Philip, where are you? Philip! She came over to me. Owen, where's Philip and my children? Where did they go? Terror gripped my throat so that I could not speak. But a deafening scream of agony echoed through my mind. I looked about and noticed that some of the others were gone too. I became scared, very scared. I was shaking all over now because I knew where they had gone. Then it came about as they were going along and talking that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. 2 Kings 2, 11 and 12. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Revelation 11, verse 12. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Look! Look! Shouted someone, pointing to the sky. Sharon and I looked. What we saw both amazed and terrified us. It had to be Jesus. The glory about him made it difficult to see. He was surrounded by a host of people and angelic beings. He was gathering his own, and he hadn't gathered me. This was my worst nightmare. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him, even so, amen. Revelation 1, verse 7. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. Mark 13, 26 and 27. Fires were breaking out all around me. I felt a rumbling beneath my feet. Those who had been standing were falling to the ground. The sound was getting louder. I turned to see our old church building was burning to the ground. We just painted it last spring. I wish the ground would swallow me up and I would disappear. The present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. The heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. 2 Peter 3, 7 and 10. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Revelation 6, 16 and 17. We left the earth and were brought to the place of judgment. There were people everywhere. It had to be every person who ever lived. I was with people I knew in life. Doug and Sharon were there. But I couldn't find Ruby and Philip. Before us was a throne with Jesus on it. I'd always thought that God the Father would judge the world. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. John 5, 22 and 27. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. John 12, 48. It didn't take nearly as long as I thought it would. Not as long as I hoped it would. I guess there's no more sensational time. Jesus was dividing us into two groups. Doug and Sharon went before me, then it was my turn. I stood before God and his angels, before all of mankind, from Adam to the last. At that moment it dawned on me, I would never see the Father. I would never meet Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Peter, or Paul. Grief and sorrow fell upon me like huge boulders. I fell to my knees and pleaded for mercy. I said, Lord, Lord, Lord. Haven't I been a Christian all of my life? Haven't I attended services and studied my Bible? Didn't I give every Sunday? Owen Lindsay, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed. Whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Your name is not written in my book of life. I do not know you. Depart from me. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the brethren, these brethren of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Matthew 25:31-46. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14-15. I wonder if Sharon or Doug are nearby, but I can't see. It's total darkness here. All I can hear is wailing and crying. There's an empty feeling in me that I have never known. A terrible, horrible ache. A feeling of total despair. Such pain I have never felt before. It's unbearable. I want to disappear, to become nothing. I wish I'd never been born. God is missing. I can no longer feel His presence. In life, even during the times I had turned away from Him, I knew He was nearby, always waiting, always willing to forgive me and take me back. Now He is gone. He has placed us here and left us forever, forgotten and alone. It was a beautiful Lord's Day morning. The storms the night before had passed, and the sun was shining bright and clear. I always enjoyed Sunday a little more. But on top of getting to go to worship service, God had blessed us with a beautiful day. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. Sharon Hayes had repeatedly refused to obey the gospel, though her husband had pleaded with her. Are you here tonight? Do you believe? Acts 22:16 says, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Brother Doug Murray harbored secret sin in his life. By all appearances, he was a faithful Christian, but he was unwilling to cast away from him that one sinful indulgence. Are you sinning in secret? 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts." Psalm 90:7-9, "For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh." Owen Lindsay, the narrator of our story, was a hypocrite who had deluded himself into believing that he was righteous. Outwardly, he did appear righteous to men, but inside he was full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Matthew 23:28. Job 27:8 says, "For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he may gain much, if God takes away his life?" Isaiah 33:14, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" Galatians 6:3, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Do you know God? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you left everything for him? If so, did you devote your life to Jesus, holding nothing back, committing all you have to his service? 2 Corinthians 6:1-2 says, "And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Hebrews 4:1-7, "Therefore let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, 'And God rested on the seventh day from all his works.' And again, 'In this, they shall not enter my rest.' Since therefore it remains for some to enter, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter, because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David after so long a time, just as he has said before, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart.'" That's the lesson. The best I can tell from the scriptures that I've studied and the scriptures that I just read, that's pretty much exactly how it's going to happen. If he came right now, this would all play out just the way you heard it. Brothers, sisters, that's scary. You know why the rich man wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers? It's not because they were ignorant. They were Jews. They knew the law. They believed. But they had never heard someone come from the dead and tell them what it was really like. I think that's why Jesus told us the story of the rich man and Lazarus, so we would get a feeling or a taste of what it's really like after physical death. What we heard about is what it's going to be like on the last day. We do not want to be in Owen Lindsay's place. We want to be in Ruby's place. Can you say in your heart, if the Lord came right now, and I know most of you can, and I'm so happy for that, that you would smile sweetly and clutch the Bible to you and wait for him to come and get you. Oh, that would be so wonderful. I've deluded myself many times thinking about this. How could the Lord come now? Look at all that still needs to be done. Look at all the loss that still needs to be saved. But you know, like someone told me before services, that's just pure speculation. No one can know, can even guess or imagine when the Lord may come again. And he could very well come in our lifetime. He could come tonight. He could come today. But when he does come, it will be when no one's expecting it. All we can do is be prepared and ready. Are you prepared and ready? If not, you can be tonight. All you have to do is come forth. Come forward, confess your faith in him, ask to be baptized. There are men here who have baptized people before. Just because the regular preacher's not here doesn't mean you can't get baptized. You can. And you can be saved in about 15 minutes time. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Or if you're a brother and sister in Christ and you're guilty like Doug or Owen, that can be corrected. And it should be corrected very soon. So you may be in a right relationship with your Lord again, and you'll have no fear of these things coming your way. I would encourage you, if there's anyone here present tonight that is subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward as we stand together and say,